So music.
Tripping Balls.
I'm Doc. He's Adam H. Photo. We are talking about new music that's been released by very new artists that have never recorded before.
Never ever. Well, one of them.
Well, this is true. What did you think of the new Judas Priest album?
Well, look, I got to admit, it kind of oversold me a little bit because as sort of the you know, I do like the metal and all, and I must admit, I never went backwards. I sort of started at Metallica and maybe and sort of crept around maybe a bit of Iron Maiden or something like that. I'd never gone back to Judas Priest to sort of have a listen. So it was interesting to have, actually, I listened to this album, this new one, and it's interesting that my immediate thought was, God, I can hear all the references like to this. Like, this album sounds like Master of Puppets in places. It sounds like Pantera in places. It sounds like, honestly, there are bits of this that sounds like all the best metal albums in the world. If Metallica had to release this album this year, it would have been the greatest thing they'd ever done. Because it's got all the good bits. And then I thought, I'm going to go back and listen to British Steel. It's kind of like, to me, that when I was growing up in conservative, very conservative, that AC/DC, they were a heavy metal band, you know? Mm. They were metal enough. And you go back and listen to it, and like, they barely even turned the distortion up.
Yeah.
Like, it's loud music, sure. And I feel that's British Steel to me is like that. It's loud music, and it's a guy with a voice that kind of, you know, reaches out and grabs you and shakes you around a bit. But it's not until you get into the next couple of albums,
it's not what you would call heavy metal at that stage, because, I mean, I've gone back to this point before this podcast, but 1980, Back in Black by AC/DC, British Steel by Judas Priest, Ace of Spades by
Motorhead
all came out in the same year. And they are kind of the template for a lot of heavy music that went on to happen. Yeah. Oh, I suppose also you've got the early Van Halen that was dropping around then as well, which also brought in that over-the-top guitarism, jism, even guitar synthesizers and things like that. But yeah, well, it's about 82, 83 where what we know of as heavy metal kind of, and you also got to throw in the dark elements of Black Sabbath, because people weren't doing that until Black Sabbath started writing songs like they were a horror film kind of thing.
And then there's Maiden in there as well, that kind of, because I hear a lot of Iron Maiden, and whether that's Iron Maiden heard Judas Priest and went, there it is.
They were colleagues, they toured together, they were around exactly the same time. But actually, you do raise an interesting point, because some of the stuff on this almost feels like they've dropped in a few tributes to acts that have gone along with them.
To my way of thinking,
because there's one track that sounds so much like they're doing an Ozzy Osbourne, not a Black Sabbath song, but an Ozzy Osbourne solo song, because just the way that Rob Halford's voice is being pitched in just feels very, very Aussie.
And there's other very big Iron Maiden moments. To me, this album sounds like, you know, it's them kind of going, we know you're a whole bunch of you used us as your influence. We're going to take all the best bits of what you guys did and chuck it in this album. And I really liked it, actually. I had a massive smile on my face. It's not groundbreaking. But it's fun in a lot of places.
And the thing is that it's been so long since they've done anything. And this is kind of, we have listened to so many fucking terrible legacy albums and legacy acts over the years. What you want is a legacy act that can turn up and say, we can do this as well as we've ever done it at any stage. And that's exactly what this album did. It's like, we are as good at this as we've ever been.
Yeah, that's right. And I get the impression that if I went along and saw this live, this would just blow me out the back of the out of the place. You know, and like, I have confidence in it. Because this, I mean, technically as well, this album sounds great. Yeah. It's really well mixed. The drums, the guitars, everything's, you know, you go back and listen to British Steel, and it's got that very 1980, we were banging loud cardboard boxes together.
Yep.
Fear with, you know, amplifiers that we could, you know, that were crackling, you know, it's part of the deal. This is a very clean album, yet it's still kind of, it has that sort of wailing guitar and, you know, Lemmy style, you know, picks, you know, 6-inch wide pick kind of bass, and all of the tropes that you like and make you smile about hair metal or glam metal or even thrash and
early thrash, new wave of British heavy metal, which was your Iron Maidens and your Judas Priests, and even partly Motorhead, although they consider themselves more of a heavy rock band.
Yeah.
It's what I thought listening to this was that they have done, like, you hate to see a legacy act that does themselves a disservice and hurts their own legacy, and I thought they have done themselves proud, they have done their genre proud, and it's, that's as much as, I mean, you can produce the fuck out of the guitars and you know, do whatever you want, but Rob Halford's voice is holding up. It sounds fucking tremendous. You listen to Ozzy now; he sounds fucking awful in a lot of things.
Yeah, well, they all do. And I mean, you even look at the other sort of people that came out of this in different directions. Like the guys from Def Leppard are still touring, and that came out of this. You know,
they were kind of the powder finger of like,
that's
like,
right,
like powder finger to the rest of Australian alternative music, like the Brisbane alternative bands of the '90s. Def Leppard were kind of that. They were the ones who got picked up for all their soft songs
but they can't do it anymore. They're terrible live.
The drummer's other arm fell.
Even like Motley Crue, who came a bit later. They can't do it live.
You can't sustain that level of pharmaceutical input. Not even fucking not even Keith Richards could do that. He's had to give up all the blow.
Guns N' Roses can't do it live. Even
there was a track on this where Rob Halford was doing a better fucking Axl Rose than Axl Rose.
Yeah. So look, I mean, this album is not breaking any new ground. I don't really want it to because I don't know. There are places where metal goes these days where I sort of went, oh, okay, that's it. And probably the most recent example of it, because I mostly think that modern metal has just gone into this divergent scream blast fest. That's just, it's not music, it's just noise.
Can you be faster? Can you be louder? Can you be scarier?
Can you be quicker? The only one I've heard recently.
Or can you be self-parodying and deliberately trying to be like a 70s, 80s, big hair, pointy guitars kind of shit. And to be honest, that's the kind of metal I gravitate towards because I'd like metal to have a sense of humour. It doesn't have to be Spinal Tap self-piss take, but this is, you know.
I listened to this on the way to a gig the other day, and I was just like, this is cool. And some tracks make me laugh. Some tracks I want to, think. Yeah, the only act I've sort of heard recently that I put into full metal, because they are full metal, where I went, that's actually really interesting. I like what the direction it's at, is Alien Weaponry.
Yeah.
Because they lean into that sort of cultural heaviness of, it sounds appropriate. It sounds authentic. This to me it could not be more authentic to their sound, yet it's clean and it's modern and it's picking all the bits out of what we like about the genre over the last, 44 years since that first album.
I mean, they're a 70s band. This band, they're as old as me. They started in the 70s. You actually made me think there, because I'm thinking, like, what are the metal bands that I like that aren't like a Motorhead tribute act or not officially, but that kind of thing? And I suppose it is Alien Weaponry, and I suppose Pigs, the British act, who are quite heavy and dirgy and stonery, but have quite a lot of psych to them, but they don't. They're not obviously a Black Sabbath tribute act, or they've got a little bit more to them.
Yeah, and it's been a bit few and far between over the last, like, the big metal acts of the world, the one down the road here, like Parkway Drive, I can't stand because it's just
I thought they were an emo
fest.
Band.
No, they can be really heavy
band.
When they want to.
I mean, that's a different thing. That's just screaming and playing punk riffs.
I guess it's not metal. But I mean, what metal is such a weird sort of thing these days, because there's no, like you say, there's nobody out there doing this seriously, like actually sort of advancing the art form. It's all parody, like you said. It's
your fucking parody, who did we have that, like the Nashville Pussy or somebody like that, or like the who was that? Steel Panther.
And I guess the Darkness or something like that. The lighting,
the Darkness
scale.
At least did it like they
would, lean into it. They lean into it. That's right.
And the way they parodied it wasn't by doing a worse version of it, by making it even more misogynist and even more drug addled.
They kind of brought that pop sensibility to it. There's definite riffs.
But also they subverted it by trying to write these cock rock, the glam metal anthems about driving along these horrible B roads in a shitty English car. You know, instead of fucking David Lee Roth, I'm going to ease the seat back.
This album is too long. Because it does get a bit repetitive after an hour.
They could have dropped a couple of tracks. I think the ballads didn't really work. Crown of Horns probably not. The Lodger probably not. But
it's great. It's great. Like it's not. It's not going to be an album of the year or anything like that. It's just good, solid fun, and I will absolutely listen to it again. And it will push me back to their old set list. And Spotify did that, sort of showed me. Breaking the Law is their most, which I went back to. I went, it's kind of, I'm like, okay, that's really interesting. But then Painkiller is the next one. Holy shit, that's a great song.
So what happened? So the way their journey went in 1980, for example, they sound like we're at the dawn of the new wave of British heavy metal, and they don't sound a hell of a lot different from Motorhead or AC/DC, or because AC/DC were essentially an English band at that time, because they were mostly based over there, or even Iron Maiden. Although Iron Maiden had that kind of histrionic ghouls and goblins and Bruce Dickinson giving it heaps kind of thing.
Yeah.
By 1982, you've got fucking Screaming for Vengeance, which is much more the sound that you'd associate with Judas Priest, which is a metalized hard rock. By the mid 80s, they're fucking around with guitar synthesizers, and when the first track on this album started out with guitar synths, I thought, oh fuck, have we learnt nothing from Turbo? But by the end of they'd kind of were no longer super popular because they'd been overtaken in the pop audience by your Guns N' Roses and even your Metallica and things like bands like that.
Yeah.
So in the metal space, there were other bands that were faster, louder, heavier, and in the pop rock space, there were other bands that were more pop rock. So 1990, they came out with Painkiller, which is much more of a thrashy metal album.
Yeah, it's a great album. Like, it's really, really good.
But, and the thrashy bits of this are probably more like Painkiller, I would have thought. And also their last album, Firepower, which it was quite thrashy.
Yeah, I have to go back and have a listen to that. But I always sort of saw Judas Priest and, kids would write it on their pencil case at school. I was like, ooh, evil, whatever.
Satanic.
It's all this sort of shit. And I went back and listened to the British Steel. I'm like, oh.
No.
That's not what I was expecting at all. I was expecting what I heard on this. But it's just so much fun. And metal should be fun.
Like I mean, I know people listen to metal because, to stop themselves, go ahead and committing ritual suicide in a Scandinavian forest. But, that's... Apparently, Scandinavian metal bands are actually a good time. So, they're good people and they're quite fun. We're at risk of legacy acts ruining their bad reputation this week.
Well, yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're going to disagree on the Black Crowes album.
You go. Do you want me to? No, I'll go.
No, you go. You lay out what you were disappointed by with the Black Crowes album.
This isn't a bad album either. If you like the Black Crowes, you'll love this album.
Which I do. I realised over the years that they're actually one of my... the bands that I actually have all the albums from. And a Black Crowes album is a notoriously fickle thing. Like, there's usually some shit on there. So to get something that's this consistent in sound is actually quite rare.
Probably because they've been working
on it for 15 years.
Which is kind of interesting because I wonder if that's what turns me away from it. Because while it's good and it's definitely a Black Crowes album, I kind of felt like it was them sort of going, we're just going to steer it between the lines of a Black Crowes album. Like, we're not going to venture.
It is also the biggest flaw with the album. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that, as I said, if I quite liked it, I enjoyed listening to what I had, and I thought, I'm digging that bluesy kind of thing. But I kind of wanted, and you go back to, the classic sort of stuff. There's stuff you just go, oh, that's cool. Like, it's got little bits and it makes you want to, dance or grind or whatever like that. This album, I was kind of like, it's fine. And I don't feel like it should be fine.
I was glad to have them back. I was glad to have them back. The album it reminded me the most of was their last album before they broke up the first time, which was like 1999. And that was, so through the 90s, they'd got increasingly experimental read on drugs. And then in 99, they kind of had a more back to basics, much more blues and soul driven album called By Your Side, which wasn't that successful, and they split up, then they reformed in 2001, and then they split up, and they stayed split up for most of the 2000s. The thing is, though, that it's they're not pushing the boat out as far as they could, but we've seen what happens when they do that, and maybe it's better that they don't.
Yeah, true, that's right.
Because you end up with songs like Nebuchadnezzar off, like, Three Snakes and One Charm, or whatever that fucking terrible thing was that they did in 96, when they were on the... It's me slapping the veins on the inside of my elbow in the universal sign for somebody who is smoking weed.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers, yes.
Never go full Kiedis. But the thing is that it's been so long since they recorded anything. And, you know, Chris Robinson, Chris sounds like Chris, Rich sounds like Rich, and that's about all they need. They drop straight into the groove. They sound exactly like they did. It's less experimental. There are a few duds. There's few standouts. That's the thing. It's all very solid. It's foot-stomping, booty-shaking southern rock. I wondered whether music has changed enough that their default sound, they haven't changed their sound, but what their sound is migrated into new country.
Yes, well, I mean, and look, there's Lainey Wilson, who is the absolute flavour of the month in country, yeah. And I know a lot of the country people really hate it. Because her stuff's not really... I mean, all she does is oohs and ahs and all that sort of stuff on this, which I find really weird. Why do you need to go out and get her name to oohs and ahs? You know, all these guesting appearances and they do fuck all.
Unless you want to get played on Nashville radio.
True, that is right.
Which is...
ignoring Beyonce, they're probably playing the Black Crows and...
I don't even know what to say about the Beyonce. Apparently, the Beyonce album's been in the can since about 2018.
Yeah.
She's been planning to do a country album for an extremely long time. I am not going to listen to a country album because I listened to a disco album and that was dog shit.
Awful.
So absolutely. I don't want to hear, and I don't even like, I mean, I don't mind disco. I don't like country, so I don't want to hear her take on a genre I don't like.
Well, if it was anything like that fucking first song, holy shit, I just want to blow my brains out every time I hear that. It's just,
I don't think that's worth it. But a whole lot of middle-aged white women are really excited by the album, so that tells you, that's your guarantee of quality.
But I think it's just like... Yeah, to me, this album is if these guys are going to go back out on the road and do a big world tour and like any...
Well, yeah, they are, because they actually have been out and tour because they were touring the 30th anniversary of Shakey Money Maker,
album. And what you want with a big legacy act that's going out and doing a new album is you want them to play all their old stuff that made you really, really happy, and you want their new stuff to not make you want to turn away. Red Hot Chili Peppers, yeah. I'm looking straight at you. Yeah.
Like, so when you go to the bar for a drink when they play the new one, you like the background noise is actually quite pleasant.
You go, hey, I'm still at this gig and I'm not embarrassed to be liking this either because it's just good, solid stuff. And this is good, solid stuff. You know, it's great. You know,
it's everything you can ask for a very late career, late career comeback album. This is very late career and very comeback. It's exactly what the people came for. It's no more than no less. And it's not, because what the alternative to this is you get an hour of self-indulgent wank that only box set fucking stands would care about.
Madness, we're looking straight at you.
Yeah, and exactly. And this isn't that. This is...
So yeah, maybe I was a little harsh when I opened up, but I kind of
didn't push the boat out far enough, but I kind of get why it didn't, and I was just glad to... It's like checking in with an old friend and finding out that the things are going okay with them.
Absolutely. And I was never like, I mean, I know their big songs. I don't know their sort of extended discography. So I can imagine that for someone that does know their sort of catalogue, and this fits beautifully into the box set kind of thing. It's something, you know, it's not something you're going to sort of look at like St. Anger or something like that and go, ew, you know, let's not talk about those albums. You know, it's fine. It's good.
I'll be interested to see if they do, if they record another album and it is a little bit more. Now that we've sort of laid down a marker of what we can do, why don't we go and fuck about a bit? But maybe they're past that point of their career when they want to do that.
So maybe they just want to go out and make people happy, you know, and that's all power to them.
Now to a band at a very different end of their journey and a fairly different end of the genre space called Talk Show from South London. This was not my favourite album of the week, but I think I found it the most interesting album of the week because they were trying shit.
Yeah. Look, when I first started, I kind of this sort of electronica / Stone Roses kind of, you know, English. And I'm listening to the instrument. I think, oh, okay. Like, exactly. This is, especially after listening to those other two albums, I listened to this one last.
Well, that's because it was last on the playlist.
Yeah. this is kind of interesting.
That's what we do with Jokers.
Yeah, I had it first on the list. It was the 30-minute one, so it was going to fit into a different part of the first journey that I did. And I thought, because I listened to the Judas one on the longest part. So I thought, this is interesting. I thought I could sort of hear myself making melodies and really interesting sort of melodic things that they do. And then there's no melody.
No, there's dance music.
There's just this guy mumbling over the whole thing. And I went, maybe it's
Have you never heard dance music before?
Well,
I mean, you don't get a little...
I didn't want that. I wanted something, something that melodically matched the rest of what was going on. And instead, I got this just guy just doing these...
You got Crystal Method. It's a guitar-driven Crystal Method.
But he still sang. There's still melody in his stuff. Like, there's no melody. It's like beat poetry over the top of it. And maybe I could handle it on one song or two, but by the time I got deep in it, I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Can you guys get yourself a singer?
Not everything has to be pop music, Adam.
No, I don't
want it. Why does everything have to be pop music?
I didn't want it to be pop music. I wanted it to be.
You clearly do, because you want someone to turn up and sing. Sometimes you just need someone to lay down beats.
But it's not even beat. It's boring. I just found it really boring. Like the vocal was so boring that I kind of stopped. I wanted to get him to shut up so I could listen to the music again because I really liked the music. There's some interesting ideas and good sort of like this electronic and a very sort of British angle at it. Like you can kind of hear that sort of influence. I don't know, but every time it turned me off so much, and I don't know what I was expecting it to be. I had all these things. I was kind of thinking, I wonder if it's going to sound... Maybe it's going to be a bit desert rocky. You know, there'll be that sort of guy with that sort of thick... No, it was just this dude mumbling into a microphone.
It was exactly what they said it was going to be in the bio. It was kind of anxious, sinister funk. And I actually found that much more interesting than a bunch of legacy acts doing what they've already done, because I haven't heard anybody doing this. I suspect... our third partner in the show might like this because he quite likes a Crystal Method and he quite likes a Prodigy or a Nine Inch Nails. Does Trent Reznor sing enough for you? Because that's kind of what they're going for.
Yeah, I think, but he has sort of intent.
He does. Yeah, well, this is the same kind of vibe to me.
Yeah,
this
is, I just it's found it really,
unpleasant
I found
and
it
oppressive,
really
but there's still this driving fucking funk based.
Yeah,
dance kind of vibe.
It sounded like he was bored. Like it was just like this guy going, is this what I'm... Which is, I mean, if that's this that kind of indifference, I guess. I wanted the left to match the right.
I didn't think he was bored. I thought he was in stressed and in pain.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe. I mean, maybe that's why it was uncomfortable. I really don't know, but I was really turned off by it, and I was really disappointed by it. Because I had every song that I listened to had this real kind of energy. And yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of dance music at all, or a lot of electronica, but there's some interesting stuff going on here.
Well, I'm not a fan of modern dance music because it lacks any kind of energy or stakes or pressure or anything. Whereas this at least made, and I know it totally didn't have that same reaction with you, it made me feel something. The thing was kind of sweaty and anxious, and the way they describe it is the music you might hear at a dark warehouse surrounded by sweaty bodies that are, you know, strung out on some kind of drug and desperately trying to get off with each other. But that's kind of the vibe that, if that's the vibe they were going for, I think they hit that vibe. So we're going to be different on that
it's
one.
Obviously,
I think this.
It's obviously the vibe they're going for, because it's kind of like you don't put that kind of vocal out the front of a major international release without that being your absolute... You know, it's not like he's just a singer, you know
it's
what I
mean? Spotify, everything is a major international release.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, it's on Spotify, you know what I mean? Like,
nothing and everything is a major international release. Yeah. And I think he's out the front of it because he wrote the fucking songs. So
yeah.
I think it might have to do with that. Like him and the other people. Oh, Jesus.
I saw
a replay of a terrible goal kick from a St. George player. I think he kicked his own foot. Anyway, welcome back to our music podcast.
Well, I was trying to think, because I said I got a bit of Stone Roses vibe out of a first couple of songs like that.
Yeah, I didn't get that at all. I didn't get Stone Roses. What I got was much more kind of Prodigy meets Nine Inch Nails meets Crystal Method. And also maybe a little bit Filter, but probably more like Filter when they did that track with the Crystal Method.
Yeah. which I really like. Love that track, because you know, it's just...
Yeah, because it's, that's because it's got a big fucking banging riff in it. That's really what makes the difference.
Yeah. I love the music in this. Like, there's lots of good riffs and good ideas and good beats and good intents and good feels. And I was maybe it's a matter of that it did make me feel something, but it was repulsion. Like,
yeah.
Because I was just and maybe the other two albums. The Priest album, I made me happy. It made me smile, and maybe that's a retro thing.
That was a joyous thing. That was joy.
The Black Crowes thing was like a, you know, same as it ever was kind of thing, you know, and that's a comfortable place, but it's not really, as you said, it's not really. So, but this one,
was uncomfortable if it wasn't what you were, the vibe you were looking for.
Yeah. So I mean, that's maybe a mission
accomplished. Yeah. I saw him more like a menacing MC than a singer.
Yeah. No, as I said, if you like the vocal, then I reckon it's a really good album.
I don't like the vocal, but I felt that he fitted the vibe of what they were trying to do.
And maybe, again, I'm probably not, you know, I'm a bit like Bezo in that I'm probably not listening as hard to the actual lyric on the first listen, especially. And I struggled to get past the first listen. Maybe if I understood the lyric a bit clearer and sort of put it in that context, then maybe it makes more sense. But I had such a reaction to it the first time. I was like, I don't know how much I really want to dive into this as such. As opposed to the Priest stuff, which I went back and dived straight into, you know, head first, because I
also that if you click the little microphone on Spotify, it gives you the lyrics, so you can find out what the lyrics are.
I was driving the car most of the time. I'm not going to.
That was part of the reason I hated that fucking Yard Act album, because I'd made that mistake clicking on the fucking lyrics.
Oh no! So yeah, it's interesting. I wasn't sure which way you'd go with that, so that's kind of interesting.
I liked everything. Maybe this week, it's worth it. Yeah, that's who I am. I'm just Captain Fucking Positive. And I'm going to be Captain Fucking Positive next week when we listen to some albums that I don't know what they're going to be because we haven't fucking picked them yet.
Oh, so there's not going to be like a really clever little edit and all that? I love the...
Well, of course there's going to be a really clever little edit, but I haven't got Bezo's voice recording of him chilling in what albums he's going to have yet, so I don't know what they're going to be. I'm probably going to pick the new album by Drunk Mums, which is very much my areas of kind of bogan, gooncore, chats adjacent filth, because I like punishing Bezo with that shit. It's funny. If I'd realised, I probably should have saved Talk Show for him because it definitely would have been his areas. But it's funny.
I've just looked them up on Spotify, and their most popular song is called "Big Titty Trippin" at 2:05. It sounds perfect.
Yep, their new album's called Beer Baby. They are exactly what you expect them to be. So that's probably going to be my album of the week unless Bezo picks them. Unless he snipes my pick, which is incredibly unlikely. But he gets the Joker after he, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, whenever the last time he was on here, I picked that fucking Yard Act album when it was dog shit, and he picked that Meat Buddies album, and it fucking ruled. It was really nicely done.
Music.
Guess who's back? Back again. What's the haps, my peeps? It's your boy, Biso, the coaching god. No, it's definitely me. I have a cold is all. For next week's pod, I have picked the new album from Jesus and the Mary Chain. I have also picked something called Gesaffelstein. No, I have no fucking idea what it is either. Sounds like it was brewed for Oktoberfest. Doc wouldn't let me pick the Beyonce country album because he's a country member. Don't worry, the pod will improve next week when I'm back. Till then, I'm sorry. Music.
Cool. So I look forward to that. I look forward to the Drunk Mums. I suspect well, I know
that's,
what they
that's
sound
why
like.
You pl- that's why you play RSLs, isn't it? Because you look forward to the Drunk Mums.
That's pretty... they're drunk grandmothers most of the time.
Oh, damn. Well, you get it where you can get it, as they say.
I don't choose my crowds. They choose me.
Yes.
So,
We're not becoming less popular. Our appeal is becoming more selective, Spinal Tap said. Your appeal is selective to drunk grandmas.
And on that note...
The Drunk Grandmas will be the Drunk Mums covers show, the Australian Drunk Mums show.
I'll tell you that my life is that I had a guy legitimately come up to me and give me $50 if I played the second time for the night Sweet Caroline, except he gave me $50 to do it. I'm like, no, I don't need $50. He's like, no, take it. Except that his wife, who was there with him, her name, and I shit you not, was Carol Ryan. So he wants a version
that has her name.
I sing Sweet Carol Ryan. And I even did a full-on breakdown, slow, you know, meaningful piano ballad thing, so she could actually hear the damn word in there. Because
Ryan, because she'd be too heavy on the piss to actually pick that
that's
up.
That's right. Otherwise, you could never tell. It doesn't, you know, through a PA, you never know. So it's like,
you should have done it exactly as per your normal and just pocketed the $50 and said, no, I don't do what you asked for. You need to sink less piss and listen, you cunt. No, that's why I don't work in customer service.
Of all the offers, I've never had that one. I never even thought of it like that, but I went, there you go. And on that note.
This was Dripping Balls. I was Adam. I was Doc. He was Adam. Some combination of us.
It's good night for me and good night from him, yeah.
Some combination of the regular hosts of this podcast will be back next week to review whatever albums that we're talking about. And until then, don't play with it. It'll fall off.
Nice. Very good.
Stop. Do all the things that I wanted to do. Where's what I want? Noise removal. That's what I want. Where's the gate?
The gates of hell?
The gates
of hell. I'm screaming through the gates of hell!
All I could ever... Like, there's so many times in about the first three tracks of that, I'm just going, six, six, six.
And the number of the beast! Well, Maiden were always a bit more melodic and operatic.
Lions. Yeah, like... Yeah. Yeah, it was, I only ever saw Maiden, my introduction to Maiden was through Guitar Hero. They had a shitload of Maiden in that. And I was like,
Priest didn't really do your really fucking fun operatic ripoff stuff. Whereas just because Bruce Dickinson loved that sort of stuff. And he loved a grand historic theme, you know. I mean, even, you know, he loved that kind of, you know, grand themes. Whereas with Priest generally just like singing about, you know.
I do love retrospectively all the narrative about this stuff is satanic and you'll go to hell if you listen to it. I'm like, surely you realize they're taking the piss. Like, surely you realize this isn't serious. Like, it's not, you know, no one's worshiping. Well, I mean, someone probably did, but it's not, you know.
Well, that was the thing. It was that idiot teenagers will take anything as the theme to.
Yeah,
I mean,
true,
it doesn't matter what it is. When I mean, someone, there was a case where, I mean, AC/DC had a song called Night Prowler, which was about basically this, like a boyfriend winding up his girlfriend. But some guy went around, you know, killing women and he called himself the Night Prowler. And then AC/DC got sued. It was like, fuck, it's not our fault. I mean, we didn't do it. There's a lot of that kind of shit. It was like mentally ill people will take any influence they can to fucking, you know, they'll latch onto anything and it's not your fault, you know.
Grand Theft Auto is...
Grand Theft Auto. Marilyn Manson, although Marilyn Manson was a cunt, but, you know, he wasn't responsible for Columbine.
No. Oh, what am I doing here? I'm trying to log in the Dropbox for you. So, are you there? Yes.
I don't know, are you?
I think I am. Very good. I will upload this to you directly. And,
lovely.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
And I'll do it record this podcast. Thank you for dropping in. Thank you for...
That was a bloody good edit last week too. Like it sounded really good, and I realised that probably took a shitload.
It took a day. It took a solid day. Like, but I thought this is 400. You'll learn about really it. We need this to take on Jackie O and Kyle. Which actually, I clipped that bit out and saved it for the music app because it was.
Yeah.
We talked about music, and also we desperately needed content for the music app by that stage.
It was really short.
I was actually quite happy with the music app because we only had about 12 minutes of content and I managed to turn it into 20. So it was quick.
No, it was good. No, I really enjoyed it. And it's funny how you listen back to it sometimes and you go, did I say that?
I disagree with me.
Saying that.
No, yeah, I just go in there and say, and see, Adam says, I like little boys. Yes, that I do it all the time.
Second.
Just cut it all together.
All right, man. I'll catch that.
All right, man. Cheers.
Music, 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 music.